Good morning, church. I love that. Well, would you behave yourself, Ray? Glad you're here this morning. All right, we're going to do an experiment. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Everybody take a deep breath. Man, that's amazing. Y'all are really good at this. We're reading through the psalm. I'm reading through the psalms. I think some of you might be joining me in that through Lent. Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I'm pretty sure you're qualified. I think everybody took a deep breath. We're all qualified. We're here to praise. Yeah. For an audience of one. We're not here just to meet our needs. We're here to exalt the King of Kings. Yes? Shall we do that? Let's invite the Spirit and want to welcome our live stream worshipers at home. You know, the Spirit is at your house too. Let's pray. Father, we love you. You are worthy of our praise. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Alpha, the Omega. Nothing escapes your attention. You're the Creator of all things. And yet, in the midst of that, you love us. You love us. So we praise you. We exalt your holy name, Jesus. Say it with me, church. Jesus. Say it again.
Jesus.
Jesus, we love you. We pray in your name. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able, let's worship.
Good morning, everyone. We are so blessed to be worshiping with you this morning. Let's join together. children will come forward for children's time.
You're here today. All right. First of all, look what I brought today. What is this? What did I bring? It's not a windmill. It is a wind thingy, I guess. It's called a pinwheel. And it's a giant pinwheel because I was bringing it here and I thought a giant one was perfect. All right. So what is so unique about a pinwheel? Uses air to make it spin, so that's like wind comes by and makes it go. All right, yeah, so for example, all right, so wait, I did get a giant one, so I thought I'd bring a giant fan. I was worried I would not have enough air. There we go. Turn it. Kind of get it. Oh, like right in front? Oh, that's cool. Oh, my goodness. But it didn't work when it was pointed away. It has to point towards the fan. All right. Do you know what that makes me think of? That makes me think of how we are with God. We are like the pinwheel, and in order for us to hear God and know God and see God and know what he wants, we need to be facing God. And what happens when we turn away from God?
We stop spinning.
We stop spinning. We no longer are hearing and we're doing our own thing. We don't know God's will anymore. We're not letting him influence us at all. But as we slowly turn back. Now what happens? I figure when we sin, we must not be facing God when we choose to sin, right? We're going, no, not listening to you right now. But well, we're facing down like this? Like this. All right. So what can we do? Does that mean we're no longer can have God in our lives? We've sinned, it's done. That's it? No? What do we do? We have to turn back. That's right. We have to ask for forgiveness and turn back to God so that then we're back aligned with God's will and what he wants with our lives. That's right. So do you think you can do that? Keep yourself aligned with God so you know what he wants and you can do what he wants and you keep yourself positioned in such a way to hear him. And then you can be a light or a spinning pinwheel out there for other people, knowing what God wants. And that takes us to our Bible verse that I chose for today. And my Bible verse is right out of Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, "Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord." Does God ever turn away from us?
No.
No, never. He's always right there, blowing the wind, blowing the Holy Spirit right at us to receive. We're the ones that turn away. We're the ones that go away. He says, "Return to me, and I return to you," each and every time. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for these children being here today, and thank you for having open arms and welcoming us each time we have turned away from you. And Lord, please help us to turn back to you each and every time we do turn away. I praise you and thank you in your most holy name. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed. Thank you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into whichever service you're attending, either online or in person. I've got a little confession to make this morning. Is it okay if I do that? Nothing shocking, I can assure you. Man, I can tell you some stuff, George, but this isn't the right place for it. Carly and I have been at this church for 21 years. I shared Wednesday night, if you were at the Ash Wednesday service, we come from a Baptist background, so Lent, the season of Lent was kind of different for us. And, you know, I've had opportunities to engage 20 years. This is my 21st opportunity. And, you know, I'm not required to do that by our pastor as a staff member. Jesus doesn't love me any more or any less if I participate or not participate. But I have realized I have failed to take in the opportunity to pursue the Lord. You know, the way I'm wired, it helps me if I've got something blocked off. So I've got a 40-day period here where I can just press in and seek the Lord. And, yeah, it's kind of been weird for me. It's been framed or presented as you're doing it in preparation for Easter. I really couldn't make that connection. So I was thinking yesterday, and, the first Lent season was established around 600 A.D. by the church fathers in preparation for Easter, and I'm thinking, why would they do that? What's so different about maybe this particular year than the last year, the last 15 years? And I just wonder if they had lost their awe of the resurrection. Something Paul says. Now, this is Paul writing 25 years after his Damascus Road experience. This is what he says to the Philippian church. What I want to do, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I just kind of wonder if those early church fathers just lost that. My goodness, there's power in the resurrection. There's resurrection power. Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. That power lives inside of you and me. We have that same resurrection power. So it's my desire as I press in this year, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know that. And I don't know if that encourages anybody in the room. If you're trying to figure out, do I need to get engaged? Do I not need to get engaged? And so, I'm going to strive just to know him more and glean more of the depth of what it means to be forgiven of my sins because of the resurrection and that power living inside of me. That's got to make a difference in our lives, church. Amen? So I'm going to pray into that this morning. This is really a selfish prayer for myself, but I'm going to speak it over the congregation as well, and I just encourage you just to engage with me. And let's just see what the Lord does. Let's see what he does. So, Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for opportunities to engage with you on a deeper level. And, Lord, you're always pursuing us. You're always calling us back to yourself, which tells me that we drift is why you call us back to yourself. So I thank you for the opportunity during this season of Lent that we can press in to know you more, to know the power of your resurrection, and understand the depth of Jesus' suffering for us. Us even being conformed into his death. So, Father, I just pray that you give us a fresh glimpse of the love of our Savior, maybe a fresh baptism of his love. And, Father, I pray that you remove those things that stand in the way of us knowing you more. God, I pray that things that cloud our vision, our spiritual vision of you, that cloud our vision of your glory, God, I just pray that in the name of Jesus that those things be removed, the veil be removed, the scales come off our eyes as we submit to you. And Father, as we seek you, I pray that you bring peace into the midst of this chaotic world, into the midst of despair. And Lord, I think about what the psalmist said. He would have been in despair if he had not known that he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so, Father, you're out there, you're active, you're moving. And Lord, we want to see your goodness in this day. We want to see your goodness in this culture. It's out there. And Father, we don't have to despair. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be depressed about the goings-on around us. God, I just pray that you, God, just give us vision this season in regard to what you're doing, what you're about. And Lord, for those of us who are missing out on peace this season, God, I just pray that you bring that. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Show up in power. Show up in power and display to us what we can enjoy, what we can receive because you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, I pray that we get to the point maybe this season and beyond. I mean, Lent's not just for this 40 days. It's a lifestyle until we draw our last breath. And Father, I pray at some point for myself that this encouragement to pray without ceasing doesn't come as a burden to me. God, it just comes as a joy. It just comes easy. So Father, help us to pray without ceasing. Help us to praise you without ceasing. I pray that unending worship flows from our hearts. And God, I pray for healing during this season, physically, emotionally, spiritually. God, I pray you set us free from demonic influences in our life. God, would you send angels, station your angels around us, God, that nothing will come near our tent. As the psalmist says, God, just set the captives free for your glory. And Father, help us find rest for our souls. I just sense there are souls this morning that are just tormented, uneasy, searching for rest. You are our shelter. You are our strong tower. Lord, I ask that you bring rest for our souls. Oh, Father, we adore you. What a privilege it is to seek you. Your promise is that if we seek you, we will find you. But there's a caveat there that we will find you if we seek you with our whole hearts. May that be our testimony this Lent season, that Easter season, that we have found you, the lover of our souls. You're so kind and good, Father. We praise you for that. So gracious and merciful. We praise you for that. None of us have gone too far. Thank you for that. We pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If the Lord stirs your heart to give this morning, the giving options are on the screen. Offering boxes are by the doors. And once again, church, thank you for your financial faithfulness to the Lord. Also, if you need prayer this morning, please connect with someone. We have some prayer folks available. I'll be available. Our pastor's available. And so let's continue to seek him, Shauna, as we stand. Can we do that? Stand, please.
Dead things come alive in the name of, Jesus. So say that name with me again. Jesus. Dead things come alive at the name of
Jesus.
Dead things come alive at, in the name of
Jesus.
Things like, what sort of things might come alive? Perhaps relationships, dead relationships, dead marriages, dead hope. Perhaps addictions become dead. At the name of Jesus. I've said it so many times. I know Brother Larry preached on this a while back. There's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's not just any old name. There's power. There's spiritual power in the name of Jesus. We need to tap into that and wield it like a weapon that it is, spiritual weapon. If you are worshiping with us this morning, we're glad you're here. If you're our guest, we're especially glad you're here and hope you feel the spirit that we're singing about and to. I hope you feel the love of God and the love of His people in this place. That's our hope and that's our desires, that you feel loved when you're here. There is, if you're our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe, and it says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out, and I would love to have you bring that. I'll be at this end of the foyer, and would love to meet you after the service and have a free gift for our guests. You may have been coming for a little while, and just we've never really connected, you've never brought me your information, and we've never really gotten to know each other, so don't be afraid if this is not exactly your first trip here. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 130. So, how many of you were, I told you last week that I'm going through personal reading every day of the Psalms for my Lenten 40-day. By the way, thank the beautiful words about Lent, Billy. Thank you for those, and thank you for stepping in and taking care of our Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday. You didn't really want me here, I promise. Last week, I was under the weather. How many of you are following with me through the Psalms through Lent? Bunch of you, great, awesome. The rest of you, it's okay. God still loves you. It's okay. But we're gonna spend some time today in Psalm 130, and this is another song attributed to King David. I love this because David had everything in the world going for him. I mean, he was God's guy. He was the king of Israel. I mean, he was a mighty warrior. He had slayed Goliath, and he had slayed tens of thousands, Scripture tells us, of the enemies of Israel. And yet, he was also a broken man. We picked this up, Psalm 130, verse 1. King David crying out, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let my ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Let your ears be attentive. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning." Twice. "O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption." Anybody else need that besides me? "He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we desperately need to hear from you. We thank you. We have invited you, and we have your promise that you are here. Would you speak on to us in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So continuing with the sermon series I started last week, 40-day walk with the psalmist. So again, we're going to spend the next several weeks kind of unpacking some of the different psalms. And today's message is From the Depths to Hope. And we're looking at Psalm 130, as I said. I had forgotten about this. It kind of came back to my mind, and you may be familiar with this story. It was all over the news. Back in 2010, 33 miners trapped in a mine in San Jose. Anybody remembering that? It was a little while ago. I want you to recognize that these were 33 souls, 33 real men trapped. Go ahead and, I know you can't see their faces real well. You don't, certainly can't see their names there, but that's the 33 men that were trapped 2,300 feet below the surface. Now, I want that your mind to kind of gather that for a minute. Let's just take, for instance, a three-story building would be around 30 feet tall, right? 10 foot or so per floor. So a three-story building would be 30 feet. They were 2,300 feet below the surface of the earth in the pit. No one was even sure if these men were alive after the cave-in. But on day 17 of their captivity, the miners heard drilling. Someone, and they recognized, someone up on the surface loved them, was worried about them, and was trying to rescue them. Is that ringing true for anybody yet? They heard the drilling, and they finally, they weren't able, this was not a drill hole that was big enough to get them out, but it was drilling down to them where they could send messages back and forth and supplies originally. So on day 17, they heard the drilling. The drilling came through, and they were able to attach a note into this little capsule and send it back to the surface of these people that loved them and was wanting to rescue them. And the note said this: "We are well in the shelter, the 33. Reminds me of our spiritual journey. This David in this psalm, he recognizes that he was trapped just like these miners. Let's dive into this Psalm 130. The first point I want to make is the Lord hears the depths of our brokenness. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. That's David. This is King David. Out of the depths I cry to you. Hear my voice. Be attentive to my cry for mercy. And then he goes on to say, Lord, you recognize I'm a sinner. If you really held me account of my sin, I would be toast. That's the Jeff Hatcher Revised Standard, Jeff Hatcher version. If you gave me what I deserved, I'm crying out to you in the depths. I'm broken. If you gave me what I deserved, I couldn't stand. You'd zap me on the spot. He recognizes, King David, the psalmist, he recognizes his sin and his brokenness before God. This is kind of another sermon, but I'm going to, just a little side note. I read an article just a couple of days ago, and Cheryl and I were talking about it, and the article, the basic premise of the article was, you know, there's a lot of non-biblical teaching happen even in churches, in the church, in our culture, not just nationally, but really worldwide. There are places, there are pastors, and there are churches, and there are congregations that embrace certain sin and say it's okay. And the article was basically exploring, is this possible? Is it possible that these people really know the Lord? Is it possible that the Holy Spirit can really move in that environment, in that church, and so forth? And that, I've got some thoughts on that, but I'm going to set that aside. And here's what I want to say about that. The Christian journey begins when we recognize that we are undone, that we are sinners, that we are broken and in need of a Savior. If we have never come to that point that we realize we're a mess, and maybe it was more subtle for some of us, or maybe it was like a thunderstorm in my life, but if we don't understand what David is crying out of the depths I cry to you, if my sins, if you paid me, if you kept record of the sins and you paid me what was owed for the sins, I would be a mess. It would be a lost cause. Do you see David gets it? He knows he's a sinner. He knows he's broken. He knows he needs a Savior. The Christian journey, that's where it starts. If we embrace the sin in our lives, it's different than struggling with sin. I mean, that's a separate issue. But if we think that the sin in our life is okay and it's okay to embrace that, what can God do with that? Eventually, I believe, just like those miners, they were in peril. They needed a rescuer. They were hopeless. They were 2,300 feet below the earth with no hope for escape. They were doomed. But suddenly they heard drilling. I believe that we all find ourselves at points in our lives in the depths, like David did. There's all sorts of things that conviction is a good thing. When we're convicted of our brokenness, that's a good thing. But the enemy, I've said it so many times, but the enemy wants to take our sin and he wants to, and our brokenness, he wants to heap shame and guilt on us. Jesus wants to rescue us. He's drilling to save us. But the depths, sin and shame and guilt, all those things that the enemy wants to heap us with, but we have a Savior, a suffering Savior who wants to save us from our brokenness. We need a Savior, church. And the Lord is, he's quite aware of our brokenness. We can run, but we can't hide. I think we talked about this last week. There is no place that we can escape that he doesn't know about. And yet he loves us. Secondly, in his mercy, so we're broken. He hears us in the depths. In his mercy, he rescues us. There's a word in verse 4 that's an important word, and the word is three letters, and it's the word but. If you kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? He's acknowledging, I'm a mess. As Paul said in Romans, what a wretched man I am. Verse 4, but. But God doesn't leave us there. But with you, Lord, there's forgiveness. He, in his mercy, he doesn't leave us in our brokenness. First, we have to acknowledge that we are broken. In his mercy, he doesn't leave us there. He wants to rescue us. Just like those people on the surface, they loved one or more of those miners. They didn't want them to perish. So they went to work. With Jesus, he didn't have to drill a hole. He just went to a cross. In his mercy, the Lord rescues us. With you, Lord, there's forgiveness. We're broken. If we were to pay for our sins, who could stand? But with you, there's forgiveness. And then the second half of that verse is interesting. Therefore, you are feared. Now, this is a lot of people misunderstand what it means to fear the Lord. Not to rehash old videos, but I watched a video several years ago, Oprah, talking about that she can't put her faith in a God that people say you have to fear. I don't want a God that I have to fear. Well, bless her heart, she just doesn't get it. To fear, when we come to that place where we understand that God, well, I've said it in my own life, I was deserving of his wrath, and I received his mercy. Therefore, I fear the Lord. Not fear, not like I'm afraid of him. I fear him. It's in reverence and in awe. Here's a God who could have zapped me right there on the spot, but instead, he saved me. He embraced me. He loved me. With you, there's forgiveness. Therefore, you will be feared. And just another, just a side note on the forgiveness, just another reminder that forgiveness is not earned. Man, I'm telling you, that is a common mistake, even in the church. That, man, be good to earn your way to heaven. Be good so God will love you. God, if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you in the pit. He wants to rescue you. Thirdly, the Lord, not only does he hear our brokenness, aware of our brokenness and rescue us and forgive us, but then the Lord transforms our brokenness to hope. Hope. Not this whimsical hope that I hope that I win the lottery, or I hope that I, you know, people like me, or I hope that I get that promotion, or that's not the kind of hope we're talking about. Here are these verses. I wait for the Lord, David says. My soul waits. He understands. He's crying out to the Lord. He understands that the Lord forgives, and he says, I wait for the Lord. I'm waiting for him. My soul waits. In his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. It's interesting that's repeated. What about the watchmen? The watchmen that wait for the morning, they wait for the morning. They know morning's coming, and they trust it's coming, but they watch for it. They don't know when it's going to happen. They'll proclaim it when it happens, but they watch for it. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. That's why I love the Lord so much, is because I know about his unfailing love. Not only for me, but for you. And with him, with the Lord, is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And Israel, we've been grafted into that, to the people of Israel. So that's talking to us. So this psalm, there's a flow to this psalm. David's crying out in his brokenness, in his desperate depth of his brokenness. He's crying out. That flows into God's mercy and forgiveness, which flows into expectant hope. Those miners at, what did I say, at day 17, they heard the drilling, the drilling broke through, and they were able to communicate with those on top. And I want you to picture this. People up on top that loved them, cared about them, wanted them to be rescued and not to perish. Almost sounds like the Lord to me. But they got a means to communicate, and so they're communicating, and they're able to send down some food and water and supplies for them. But it wasn't until day 69 in the pit. Think about that. 69 days, 2,300 feet below the surface. Cheryl and I, a few years, went to Cascade Caverns? Carlsbad Caverns. And we went down. Anybody been to Carlsbad Cavern? You go down in the caverns and you ride around and look and everything. Cheryl didn't like that too much. She like, I don't want to go back. 2,300 feet below the surface for 69 days. They confidently waited because they knew somebody on the surface loved them. Amen. And was trying to rescue them. Hope is not wishful thinking. It's confident waiting on the Lord. Whatever you're going through, if you know that the Lord loves you, you wait confidently. He's going to see you through it. I just, this morning, I just feel like that there may be some of us that just need to know that the Lord wants to rescue you. Whatever you're going through, whatever pit you're in, He just wants to rescue you. He loves you, and He's proven that not by drilling a 2,300-foot hole, but by hanging on a cross. And if that's you this morning, don't allow us. This is a strange statement, maybe. Don't allow us to hinder you. Don't allow other people to hinder you from responding to that. I don't know if y'all, I shared this several years ago, but the men of Nehemiah, it's probably need to get them back out here sometime, don't we? But they, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, they were up here singing, the men of Nehemiah, and these guys have been through it all. And they were singing, and they were worshiping. And I didn't take this as criticism. It was convicting to me. There was a guy that was leading them, and I was close enough I could hear what he was saying to them. And, of course, if you've been here when the men of Nehemiah have worshiped, they worship. I mean, you know they're worshiping. And I remember the leader saying to them, don't, and it wasn't a critical thing, it wasn't an ugly thing. He said, don't let them keep you from worshiping. Hello, Suzanne. And that didn't offend me at all. It convicted me. Do I ever keep someone from worshiping by the way I'm responding? And what he was also saying was, don't worry about anybody else. It's just you and the Lord. Just respond the way you need to respond, and don't worry about anybody else. And I believe the Lord is saying that today. Did you know the Methodist Church? This is gonna. If you don't know this, this will probably surprise you. Birthed the charismatic movement. Did you know that? Well, that's way too crazy for us now, right? Did you know? You can read stories about John Wesley. Did you know he prayed over his lame horse one time so he could get to where he needed to preach? Healed his horse's lame leg. Isn't that cool, Larry? Yeah. God is, He is worthy of our praise. And we tend, I'm just, and I put myself in this same category. We tend to hinder with our, you know, we need to look a certain way, be under control. And then we go to a ball game and people are out there, you know, with their shaking their cans and everything. But in church, we don't want anybody to see us be weird. Man, let me tell you something. Surrendering to the Lord is not weird. It's the greatest thing you can do. So I just invite you to just bow your heads with me this morning. If the Lord is prompting you, don't, I'll say it this way. Don't let me or anyone else hinder you from responding. The Lord is on the surface. If you're down in the pit, He's drilling. He's drilling down to save you because He loves you. He wants to redeem you. Just receive Him and say yes. I mean, it's simple. The greatest prayer that perhaps we can pray is, Lord, help me. Just help me, Lord. I don't even know what to say. Just help me. Cry out from the depths if you need to. Jesus, thank you that you loved us so. You came and you died for the whole world. But you would have died for any one of us if that's all that needed saving. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God, before you go to the music, Ben, show that last slide. I think I skipped over you there. I want to show you this. Sorry, I got you out of rhythm there. This is one of the, this is on day, what did I say, 69, that one of the miners came out, they built a this cage. You probably remember seeing it on the news. They built a cage and they brought them up 33 times. They brought one by one. They brought them up. This is one of the miners coming up. Look at his shirt. And this, I'll do my best in my West Texas Spanish. Gracias, Señor. Thank you, Lord. That look on his face should be us when God, we recognize He's rescued us. Yes? Thank you, Ben. If you'll rise if you're able, if God is prompting your heart this morning, the altar rail is open. I'm here. If you need prayer or want to make any sort of a decision, please come.
God I serve knows only how to triumph.
put your hope in the Lord because He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. That's good news. Go and tell someone. God bless you.
And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.